From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Returns from Wednesday's Dutch parliamentary election show the center-right government of Prime Minister Mark Rutte prevailing against a challenge from the anti-European Union Party for Freedom of parliamentarian Geert Wilders. Han ten Broek is the ruling party spokesman.
He won seats, obviously, and many other parties also won seats, and we actually lost seats. But in these difficult times, when parties are normally not rewarded for taking tough measures, I think the message that can be drawn from this election is a different one. The message is actually that responsible leadership can actually pay off. And I think tonight has proven that people want our prime ministers to stay in and stay on.
Bram Rutte is one of millions of Dutch voters who cast ballots.
I think it's great. I think the Netherlands really gave a clear message to all the people that we don't stand for populism. We stand for liberalism. We stand for progressivism. I think that the Netherlands wants to keep on going. We're out of the crisis.
Voter turnout 75%, the highest in 30 years. The Christian Democrats came in second. Wilders' Party for Freedom coming in third with a gain of a handful of seats. The ballot outcome watched carefully in France, which holds a presidential election next month. British Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson visited Somalia Wednesday, meeting with the new president, Mohamed Abdullahi Mohamed, and pledging to aid combat the effects of a deepening drought.
It's a shame. It's that you're facing the problems that you are, particularly, of course, the drought and the risk of starvation that we're now facing, though I think that we are moving fast to try to tackle that.
Johnson said his government pledging more than $130 million. This is VOA News. Hours before President Donald Trump's revised travel ban was set to go into force, a U.S. federal judge in Hawaii issued a temporary emergency halt to its implementation. The temporary ban was aimed at allowing for standards of scrutiny to allow people to enter the U.S. from six countries safely: Iran, Libya, Syria, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. Mr. Trump reacted during a rally in Nashville, Tennessee.
This new order was tailored to the dictates of the Ninth Circuit's, in my opinion, flawed ruling. This is, in the opinion of many, an unprecedented judicial overreach.
The judge's decision was in response to a lawsuit filed by the state of Hawaii, which argued the March 6th executive order discriminates against Muslims. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson in Japan Thursday said cooperation is critical as Washington and its Asian allies confront the challenge posed by North Korea's missile and nuclear programs. Wednesday, U.S. spokesman Mark Toner downplayed any groundbreaking policy changes during Mr. Tillerson's trip to Japan, South Korea, and China.
I wouldn't predict that there's going to be concrete action out of his trip. I think this is a chance for him to have a lot of substantive, hard discussions with our allies and partners about possible next steps. Again, recognizing that the threat of North Korea, frankly, is only growing stronger.
Tillerson travels Friday to South Korea, then Saturday to China, where his chief objective is meeting with President Xi Jinping to lay the groundwork for a U.S.-China summit in Florida next month. Tensions between Turkey and European nations continued Wednesday, Germany saying it reserves the right to impose entry bans on Turkish officials hoping to campaign in the country for next month's constitutional referendum to give President Recep Tayyip Erdogan sweeping new powers. Ankara imposed diplomatic sanctions on the Netherlands over the dispute, which Mr. Erdogan likened to Nazi-style tactics. The Turkish leader Wednesday threatened to cancel a migrant readmission agreement with the European Union, a deal aimed at easing the continent's migration crisis. Two separate suicide attackers blew themselves up Wednesday at different locations in Damascus, killing at least 31, wounding dozens more. There was no immediate claim of responsibility as the Syrian conflict, which has taken hundreds of thousands of lives, enters a seventh year. Ethiopia raised the death toll from Saturday's landfill collapse to 113. As the government observes 3 days of national mourning, at least 80 other people are still missing. Former Indiana Senator Dan Coats Wednesday won Senate confirmation as President Trump's National Intelligence Director, Coats becoming the fifth person to hold the post since it was created in the aftermath of U.S. intelligence shortcomings ahead of the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.